Blog Talk Radio.
Where's the computer buffering? DJ, she's trying to run in a lot. Man, Beach Bum Gun live on the off ramp, January 26, 2023. Almost at the end of January, man. 2023 is off to a pretty quick start. There's an asteroid headed to kill us in any moment. Midnight tonight, well, midnight in South Africa. So what time is that here? Has it already passed then? Is it midnight in South Africa?
Yes, no, South America. You
could South America. I'm sorry, so it's probably really is midnight. Can we see it here?
I think we can, but we have to have a good telescope.
First time an asteroid is passing this close to us, and we
like
can't see it. But how far is the moon away? These are questions that I should have researched before.
Yeah.
We'll get to all that in a minute. Welcome to the Off Ramp, the show for the people by the people that invites the people. It's a show where me and my folks get together, rap about the week's mathematics. See what's popping in your streets. See what's popping in my streets. See how life has been. Discuss what's going on in each other's lives. Discuss what's going on in the news. See what see how we feel. Give our opinions. We started this show so that you know, we can stop having discussions on Twitter and on Facebook and on Instagram. Welcome Donald Trump back to the metaverse. You know, instead of just tweeting a bunch of people having conversations, we want to give a place that you can, you know, get in and give a phone call. Have actual conversations. We hide the names and faces of the innocent to protect the innocent. So, you know, no one gets fired for having fun. We do have jokes. We have laughs. It can get serious. It can get argumentative. So please allow each other to have space to breathe and talk. We only got 2 hours. So, and they always fly by. So, you know, if you want to call in 929-477-3975, you can hit us up on all the socials. A lot of times you're going to call in and give me a text. Okay, you're going to let people I know call. Sometimes we have randoms and it turns pretty racist real quick. Oh, there's a lot of them out there, man. And I would think that'd just be bots, but you know, these are real people calling it, I guess. But with the AI technology, you never know. It could be a bot. So feel free to call in, you know, rabbit taste. I got a bunch of topics. See if DJ C Siren has a bunch of topics. We'll see if Blur or anybody else has a bunch of topics, and we'll just ride this out for 2 hours, pour a drink, get ready to have some laughs, get ready to be opinionated, and let's have some fun. Let me first welcome the lovely, wonderful DJ C Sire, how are you holding up tonight?
Doing well. Good evening. A little tired today.
DJ C Sire's preference, she's ready to go to Cabo, shake her ass out on the beach with her and her girlfriends and some dude named Dexter. She's ready to go get her groove back. You excited? Where'd the big dick Dexter dude come from? What comedian was that? I bet you Blur. I get Blur. I made that joke. But you excited about Mexico? I see most people be like, oh man, the cartel, be careful. But the cartel don't steal black people.
No, I mean, it's just, you know, just worried about traveling and stuff. Like, it's too much to.
What you worried about?
Plane on time, getting to a plane and COVID tests and making sure I get there, layover short.
Oh, you got a short layover again? We played with that when we went to Paris.
I know.
It wasn't a good look.
I know.
I almost got arrested abroad. Was it locked up abroad?
Tried to avoid that flight, but it was like $200 more. I chose another one.
Make sure you wear comfortable shoes in case you got to get the hustle on.
And transportation once I'm there. Just all that stuff. But, you know, once I'm there, it'll be good.
Okay. Got my man Blur in the building. Blur, welcome to the offer. How you doing tonight, my brother?
Blessed, man. Blessed and highly favored as always, man. Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here. Yeah, I don't know nothing about Big Dick Derek. Have no clue what that is, what that's about. I do know about Big Cock Brock, though. Heard about him. Dude is doing big things, taking the 49ers to the Super Bowl.
I don't know who that is, man. Hey, man, I mean, y'all don't know the Dexter joke about somebody going to the islands?
Yeah, it seems, but it's kind of generic. Didn't everybody have one of those jokes
Was it Kevin Hart? It was somebody.
I know, but I don't know.
I mean, are we talking about Chris Rock? Chris Rock sounds right.
I guess. I don't know.
But, all right, Blood, let's get into it, man. Big weekend. Your 49ers versus my Eagles. Your actually hometown team versus a team that you adopted after liking, like, four other teams that Deion Sanders played for. You excited? How you feel good about your team and their chances?
First off, I do feel good about my team. I definitely feel good about my team. We're the number one defense in the league. And Jalen Hurts got a bum arm. I would feel better if he had a bum ankle like Mahomes, but a bum arm against the number one defense. So, yeah, I'm feeling great about my team. And I think our strength on offense matches up against y'all weakness on defense. But first and foremost, let's dispel that narrative, man. I was always a 49ers fan. Well before I knew anything about football, I was a 49ers fan. I don't know why. I think it was probably Jerry Rice. No, I'm not even Jerry Rice. Maybe even like Ronnie Lott. Like, so yeah, I think that was my introduction to football, and I was like, oh yeah, I like them. I like the way they play. So yeah, man. Back, y'all remember the starter jackets back in the day, man? Had me a nice 49er starter jacket. My mom knew what was up. Like, yo, I need that one right there. That's the one. With the gold rush.
Well, you know what?
Rest in peace, Mom Dukes.
The starter jacket. You know what that sounds like? A hater. That's what you sound like.
Well, see, Blair also had a Dallas poster on his wall when he was a kid. But he forgets that I knew him growing up. He was my first friend when I moved from Camden to Pennsylvania. But he also had a Dallas poster on his wall. So that's what I said. It depends on what you're talking about.
The Deion Sanders poster. Well, let's get that right. Deion Sanders poster. And so, yeah, when he was with 49ers was the, you know, the pinnacle, everything coming together. But, yeah.
But what jersey did he?
Hey, man, the man was a hired gun. He would go wherever paid the money. You know, Dallas going to break that braid. 49ers broke that braid.
I wouldn't assume that anybody who's a true 49ers fan like ever put any Cowboys on. You should have had.
See, that's the thing. People want to make a rivalry between the 49ers and the Cowboys. It was never a rivalry between us. We were always the better team. So it was never a rivalry. They probably wanted it to be a rivalry, but nah. I mean, people go. Come to San Francisco, get your rings up. You can go somewhere else and get paid. I mean, but yeah, this is where you come to win and become a legend.
You weren't always better than the Cowboys. Deion Sanders won a Super Bowl with the Cowboys, unless the 49ers just stunk back then.
He won one with the 49ers before he won one with the Cowboys. And it wasn't even Deion, to be honest. It wasn't Deion. I think it was Leon Lett, like, with the real problem, like, because he switched teams, too.
No, but I was saying, you said that the 49ers and Cowboys has never been a rivalry because you were always better, but the Cowboys won three straight.
Yeah, you put enough money or something, you know, you're going to get results after a while.
So you realize that y'all weren't always better. But I don't understand what you're
a better
about
organization.
What are you talking about? Oh, I mean, you're definitely a better organization. But I mean, y'all had more down years than the Cowboys.
No, No.
Yeah.
We're always in contention, man. Even, like, I don't want to run down to it, but we're always in contention with the T.O. year, then the Alex Smith years, even the Tim Rattay year. Like, we were always in contention.
Y'all weren't always in contention. Y'all had some pretty awful years. It wasn't that. It was probably
right before Alex Smith and Vernon Davis came together. That was it.
I mean, I feel bad because y'all had the Kaepernick curse. Like, there's no way you win.
Mm-mm. For black people. Y'all can't win.
And the fact that you say y'all's strength is our weakness, y'all the number one defense, but we're the number two.
But y'all have really strong cornerbacks and y'all pass defense is solid. But we got the way we run the ball, like the strength of y'all defense is not y'all run defense.
No, but our run defense is top 10. Like, it ain't like it's bad.
No, it's not bad. I'm not saying y'all got a bad run defense, but our strength is the way we run the ball and how effective we are running the ball.
That's like saying y'all weakness is y'all cornerbacks and your safeties because it's the weakest part of your team, but they're not bad. I mean, y'all got the number one defense. Like, just because that's the weakest part doesn't mean it's bad. I don't think y'all run the best. We have a better offense than y'all.
See, I'm definitely going to disagree with you right there. Definitely going to disagree. Y'all might have a better quarterback. Y'all don't have a better offense.
Our offense is ranked number 3. Y'all like number 9.
We're on our third string quarterback. 3 different quarterbacks. You know how? Come on, we just getting our team together.
Hold on, let me kind of. You can't come on here and say we got the number 1 defense and then dismiss because y'all are middle of the pack on offense and then dismiss my team for having a top 5 offense. Like,
I'm not dismissing the team. I'm saying. Yeah, I know it's going to be hard as a Philly fan to be objectively. You know your offense ain't as good as ours. Across the board. Now, again, y'all have had all season to put up numbers again. The first, 11 games? And when did Jalen Hurts get hurt? Week 11? So y'all had all time. Like, I think we were on our third quarterback by week 11. 2 different times you got to build up consistency and get things together with somebody.
But we've been a top
and then our number one wide receiver got hurt and was out twice.
And we still have a top 5 defense. I mean, offense. What are you talking about? We're number 3. We have a better offense. We have a better O-line. We have better running backs. We have a better quarterback.
Stop it. Y'all do not have a better running back.
Yes, we do.
Oh, my God. That's just being blind. If you think y'all have a better running back core than we do.
Look, I love CMC. I think he's great, but he's been very inconsistent for the last couple of years. He just got hurt. You don't even know if he's going to be healthy on Sunday.
Yeah, he's going to be healthy. He's absolutely going to be healthy.
How many yards McCaffrey got? Because my running back's got 1,900.
He didn't even join the team until, I think, week 5.
No, you said your running backs are better. Look, my running back got 1,000 and another one got 900, and the other one got 600.
So you're saying right now you would take your running back crew, your running back room, and start your team versus the San Francisco 49ers running back room?
Easy.
No, you are bugging.
They are so bugging. Easy. I don't even think that's a discussion. Especially now that CMC is hurt. He's going to be limping all over the shit. I feel bad for that one.
He is not going to be limping. The boy is fine.
Okay. That's what we say. It should be a good game, though, I think. What's your prediction?
I haven't heard what Shanahan has said yet because I thought we were going to be more aggressive against Dallas. And then, like, in the pregame show, they were talking how they're like, no, he's been letting Brock Purdy go these past couple weeks, but he's going to have a more conservative game plan for this game, and he's going to rein him in, which, I mean, 1 touchdown the whole game. I'm like, oh, we probably should have let him go and, like, don't limit the playbook. If he's going to expand the playbook and let him play, I think we're going to put up some numbers. I got to hear what Shanahan says, though. Defensively, I think we're going to hold y'all.
What's the score?
I don't think Philly puts up more than 24 points.
So what's your prediction? A high scoring game? The number one and the number two defense going against each other? And you think we
I'm not even thinking 24. I'm thinking two touchdowns, three field goals.
Two touchdowns, three field goals. So that's 23.
I'm thinking 23.
And
I'll go 23-27 San Fran. We win
so
by
you
four.
Think it's a 4-point game. You got
single possession
before.
No, I don't.
No, what do you think is gonna happen? You scared to say something?
I think what's gonna happen is I'm just gonna be sad when my Eagles beat up on the Bengals.
In the championship, Super Bowl.
In Super Bowl.
Okay, so no prediction for you. I honestly think Philly wins 21-3.
Three.
I think it's a tough day.
I don't think our field goal kicker has missed it like 6 weeks.
Yeah, I think he hits the one he gets a chance. I think he won for one. I think he 100% again. I think San Francisco has one amazing drive, kicks a field goal. I think Eagles have one amazing drive, get a touchdown, and we get two broken plays, either a turnover for a touchdown or a big play to AJ, and then we go back and forth for 40 minutes with a lot of punts in between. Just my prediction. But we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Should be a good game. Two quality teams. I'm not going to shit on San Fran as an Eagle fan. You know, of course, I'm rooting for my team to win. You know, trying to be unbiased as possible, I see scenarios where the Eagles could lose this game. San Fran is a damn good team, and we've shown to have some flaws here and there. I think the physicality of San Fran a little bit worries me because New Orleans was really, really physical with Philly. Washington in that first game was really, really physical. We've been able to out-physical a lot of teams, but there have been those two occasions where we were out-physical. I do also think, even though, like, that Washington game, when Washington was really physical with us, it was a lot of fluke turnovers. We had, like, four turnovers that should have been touchdowns. But that New Orleans game was pretty bad, and I know it was the first game back. For Jalen and half of my team getting hurt. Avonte Maddox coming back, that should help. So, you know, I think it's going to be a really good game. I think it's really up to who tackles better, honestly. I mean, I think I see weaknesses in San Francisco's offense that, you know, I think my defense can take care of. So I can see scenarios where the Eagles get a win. But I think either way it's going to be a good game. And both teams should be really satisfied with their seasons. I mean, I didn't think my Eagles would win 15 games this year. What San Francisco has done has really been remarkable, being on their third quarterback. And Purdy, man, he a little cocky son of a bitch, man. He don't even be giving people high fives after the game. You know, he's go right to his girl, and his parents kiss them, and be like, fuck everybody else, y'all. He a little cocky something, man. And the last time
Big Cock Buck.
No homo.
I mean, that's what they call him.
Yeah, hold on. Hold on. You got to pause that. Like, that was crazy.
That's what they call him in the locker room. That's what they call him in the locker room, man.
Sound bite.
I don't know what to tell you. That's what they call him.
It got my man New York in the belly. New York, what's your prediction this weekend? Rest in peace.
Man, I can't even call it. Yeah, exactly. I can't even call it. It was so bad. I don't even want to go for the Eagles. It's so bad. It's so bad. But I don't know. I want to go for the Eagles, but like, nah. I'm
Yo, come on,
Rufus. Right now.
Come on down the turnpike, man. We don't hear exit away. But the good thing with me is, you know, I'll be disappointed if my Eagles lose. But I got a friend that coaches for the 49ers. So if we lose and he has a chance to get a Super Bowl ring, that would be two friends that I have with Super Bowl rings. And it'd be pretty dope. It'd be pretty dope for my man Fleury to get a Super Bowl ring. So I think either way I win. I'm happy to see my Eagles get another Super Bowl in my lifetime. My kids are older. I'm going to have to fuck around and get tickets to Arizona to watch it if we get in. But it should be a good
football. I will say this. I do think the Super Bowl champs are coming out to NFC.
And I was going to ask about the AFC championship next. So keep that thought. Any predictions on Kansas City versus Cincy, DJ C. Sign? DJ C. Sign was originally a Cincy fan. You think Cincy, Joe Cool pulls it off and gets Cincy back into the Super Bowl for the second year in a row?
They like him. They want to all talk about how great he is, but I don't know. We'll see.
It's funny having two quarterbacks that were, you know, benched at their program. Jalen Hurts was famously benched at Alabama, and no one realized that before Joe Burrow went on that run with LSU with probably the greatest two wide receivers a quarterback has had in college at the same time. He got benched. Well, he didn't even get benched. He wasn't going to get on the field for Ohio State because who was ahead of him? I just lost it. But who was ahead of Joe Burrow at Ohio State? Geno Smith?
No, I wasn't Geno. Geno was in the league by now, wasn't he?
I don't know. It was another quarterback at Ohio State who put up numbers. So Joe Burrow couldn't even sniff the field, and that's why he transferred to LSU. So Joe's doing his thing, man, for his third year in the league, you know. Two chances to go to the Super Bowl. Blur, what's your prediction? You think Kansas City get it? Oh, did you answer your question? I know you think Cincinnati's going to go in. That's what you're hoping for, because DJ Cesar used to be a Cincinnati fan. But
we got what's going on with Patrick?
Pat got a hurt ankle, man. They said he's good, though. But they gonna tell everybody good at this point.
Yeah.
Like AJ Brown got hurt last week, and I don't know if it was his feelings or his hamstring, but they said he good. He wasn't on the injury report, and I was like, that's some bullshit. He got a hamstring. But no one's ever gonna say that they hurt. So Pat, they say Pat's playing. He's full go. So full go. Pat Mahomes at KC. You got Black Kelsey, who you're a fan of because he likes black women. So DJ C. Siren is hoping that, you know, she can meet him and leave me for him.
I'll tell him I'm from Purdue.
So who you got? You got Patty Melt or Joe Cool? You gotta pick somebody, DJ. You can't be silent and shake your head.
I don't know. It's too much pressure. That
was useless. Blur, what's your prediction for the AFC this weekend?
I got Cincy taking it, which, you know what, funny, because it really sucks. Like, what's the coach, Marvin Harris? What's the black coach they
Marvin
had?
Lewis?
Marvin Lewis tried so long, man, and got so close with them a couple times, and all it took was the right quarterback, apparently. Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure it's got coaching and everything, but they turned that thing around pretty quick, because Cincy used to be a laughingstock, and now they're going to be a powerhouse for years to come. I got them winning again and making it to the Super Bowl.
Well, we don't know about years to come because Joe about to get his money. And in the NFL, there is a hard cap.
Yeah, 12%. I think it says like 12%. If you pay your quarterback more than 12% of your salary cap, of the salary cap, I think no one's won the Super Bowl paying their quarterback more than 12% of their overall team cap. But
yeah, I mean,
somebody's got to break that then. Somebody's got to break it.
I don't know, man. It's just tough because if you look at the way teams are winning now, because, what, three out of the four quarterbacks left in the playoffs are all on their rookie deals. Jalen Hurts is still cheap. I think we paid him like $300,000 this year. Brock Purdy. God bless
him. He's a rookie.
He's on the post to, he's on, you know, I hope he doesn't do it, but if he gets his team to the Super Bowl, he's the last pick in the NFL draft, and he's a rookie. I hope they at least paid him $50,000. Like, his bonus for making the Super Bowl and winning a Super Bowl, if he does it, is probably going to be more than his salary. Then you got,
I don't think it's more than his salary. It's $300,000. If he wins the Super Bowl, he gets $300,000.
How much is he getting paid? I don't think his salary.
I looked it up before. I can't remember. I think it's like $750 for the year.
That surprises me. For the
it's like $750,000 for the year, but I could be wrong. I gotta double check. It was something like that.
Well, good for him. Well, it's close, which is still funny. Then you got Joe Burrow, who's still on his rookie deal. And then Patrick Mahomes is the only one who got that big $200 million contract. And, you know, his team, I mean, Pat's still Pat. He's still the best quarterback in the league. So it should be interesting this weekend. Looking forward to it. My kid has a track meet on Sunday. So I'm trying to decide if I'm going to let him run or if I'm going to keep him home and make him skip the track meet so I can watch the game. DJ C-Sign, what should I do? Should I skip the track meet and watch the game?
Yes. Yeah.
Blur, what should I do?
Justin Fields.
Justin Fields was ahead of Joe Burrow?
Yeah.
That was in the draft. That was in our house. Justin Fields played for the No, Justin Fields is in his second year. Joe Burrow's in his third. That can't be right.
I'm looking on Buckeyes Wire. BuckeyesWire.us. Well, this is USA Today, so who knows?
All right. I mean, look, I'll take your word for it. I didn't look it up. It was in my head.
The year before him, it was Dwayne Haskins.
Dwayne Haskins. That's what I was looking for. That's who I remember him transferring for, was Dwayne Haskins. That's the name I was looking for. Because I knew it was somebody who was good at Ohio State but isn't in the league now. Well, I think Dwayne Haskins is in the league, but just hasn't caught on yet. But either way, it should be a good football weekend. But, Blur, what should I do, man? Should I make my son skip the track meet, or should I allow him to run and me miss some of the game? Because them track meets be long.
What time is the game? The track meets are long, but it ain't like – and is it a night game? I thought it was a night game.
Nah, it's at 3. We afternoon.
Oh, it's the early game. Oh, man. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, man. Let him enjoy the meet, and then you just miss, like, the first couple minutes, maybe the first quarter.
Yeah, okay. New York, what should I do? You know, the Eagles is my team. Should I allow my kid to go to the track meet? The funny thing is, I bet you my kid would want to skip the track meet to watch the game. He loves competing, but he loves his Eagles. He was old enough to remember when we were in Philadelphia for the Super Bowl. So, New York, what should I do, man?
See, I did, and that was the question I was going to ask. I think he can miss a few minutes of the game. I think he can. I mean, but I would say it determined on. I don't even know. It's like you torn between two sides right now. I don't know, to be honest with you. I mean, like, the track meet is good and everything. You can coordinate, I mean, network and all that too. But what's more important at that point?
I mean, ain't nothing that important. He's 9 years old. He's going to have a ton of track meets. It's what I had in my mind. He's probably going to run all the way through high school. So, but I don't know.
Hey, we'll see. If he got different opportunities other than that, I'd say, yeah.
Yeah, because it ain't like he going to run great. It's an indoor track, you know. So, he'd be all right. All right, man. Let's get to 30 minutes that quick. That's crazy. DJ C. Tyrant, you guys think what you want to talk about?
No.
Blur, you got something in particular you want to talk about first?
I do. And I'm glad New York is on the line because I want to ask a question. I want to pose a scenario, and I want to get his reaction, and then I'll say what's it pertaining to. So, God, let me cook on this one. Don't jump in. All right, and DJ Cesaro, you might, if you're not familiar with the situation, I definitely want to get your opinion on it too, but I don't want you to be influenced by any outside sources. You're at a party. For New York, you see a girl who tried to holler at you a couple months ago. You see her all hugged up with a dude, all lovey-dovey. You lean over to your man and say, yo, that chick right there was just trying to get at me a couple months ago. I turned her down for my girl. I could be with her if I wanted to. DJ Cesaro for you, same situation, just reverse. You see a dude, you lean over. That's the dude who was just trying to talk to me a couple months ago. Now he all up in this girl face, all lovey-dovey. I turned him down. I could have been with him if I wanted to. Is that hating? No, I'm not hating. Is that snitching?
I'm gonna give the floor to DJ C. Siren first.
The question is who are you snitching to? Like, you're not telling the, are you telling the person that they with now? Then, is it hating? I mean, that's a better question. Yes, that's hating, but snitching? Who's snitching?
You're in a party. You just say it out loud in a party.
I could have been with that person. They all in somebody else's face. No, that's not snitching.
Boom. New York, that's one.
Look, I would have to agree. It's hating to a certain degree, but I don't feel like it's snitching unless you walk up to Shorty and be like, It'd be like in front of her, whoever sling that she got right now, it'd be like, oh, nah, yo, homeboy, you know what I mean? She used to want me back in the day, so, you know what I mean? I mean, let me steal her from you for a second.
So if you know the person is going to find out about it or hear it, is that snitching? Like, you don't say it to them directly, but you know they're going to hear you. You're in a party with a couple people. You know it's going to be like, yo, did you hear what this person just said?
I don't think it's snitching because if those friend groups or those close parties are involved with each other and word of mouth gets out and then everybody knows what it is, it's kind of like gossip at that point. I don't think it's snitching.
Boom. You keep taking L's, Blur. Just say you wrong, yo. Watch him say
no. Nah, I'm just talking to three wrong people. But to fill y'all in. But what that is in relation to is to Ed Reed snitching on Deion Sanders in Jackson State, offering him the job, and then coming out and saying, oh, yeah. T.C. Taylor, you go first. That was the person we wanted to hire. We got him.
Stop framing the argument. I said I let you cook. I haven't interrupted, but don't frame the argument that way. Yeah, you leading the witness, show.
But hold on.
I was explaining what the example was for. So
Blair, what was the example again? Deion Sanders and Ed Reed. What happened? Because I was actually just talking about this in the happy hour, the MGM, what happened?
So, Avery came out and in an interview. I would say it's not a TV interview because it's online. So, I guess in a YouTube interview, but it's all over social media. He said, hey, I was offered the job at Jackson State University. Prime
called me.
That is what he
said. That's not what he said. I could have had the Jackson State job. Let's just frame his quotes correctly. He said, I could have had the Jackson State job. We don't know what job that was in, but that's what he said.
Well, shit, why he ain't take it?
Because he turned it down for Bethune-Cookman job.
You know, Bethune-Cookman in Florida. He likes them Florida. It's right on the beach, y'all. Bethune-Cookman, besides the mold and the trash everywhere, it seems like it'd be a beautiful place to be at because it's right on the beach. It's right on Daytona Beach.
That's all there's mold. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to keep those.
Nah, they got mold from the hurricane.
Yeah, okay. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, but you shouldn't allow your kids to sleep where there's mold.
Sometimes it's hard to keep that stuff.
I said that since him telling everybody that he was that he could have had the Jackson State job, which seems like if you could have had it, that means it was offered to you, that you could have had the Jackson State job, is snitching on Deion Sanders and Jackson State because they didn't tell nobody they offered him the job. They said, hey, we got our local guy, our in-house guy. We said we got the guy we wanted, and we wanted to keep it in-house. So now you're snitching on them, just calling them out and pointing out that they're liars. Either you're lying or they're lying.
Yo, the question is, I'll let you cut. I'm going to ask my question now. Can you snitch on an entity, or can you only snitch on a person? New York, New York. Can you snitch on a university?
You can. You can. You can snitch on an entity and a person. And a person.
Well, I know you can snitch on a person, but can you snitch on a building named, a bunch of buildings named after a university of somebody? Whoever Bethune-Cookman was?
Yeah, McCoy.
Who's in power of that building?
We don't know. This university, the
like the upkeeping. So it gotta go to the dean or somebody. It has to go to somebody, because the building is not making the laws. It's the people that's in the power that's upkeeping the building, is making the laws and the rules that upkeep that.
So you could snitch on. So you say yes, you could snitch on the university. You could snitch on an entire
100%. 100%, and then it would go to the people that's in power. 100%.
Okay, I disagree. DJ C. Siren, do you believe you could snitch on a university?
Can we make it more specific?
No, because this is what Blair is saying. Blair is saying that he snitched on Jackson State University, and I said you can't snitch on an entity. You can snitch on a person. Jackson State University ain't going to jail.
This has nothing to do with snitch. That's what I'm saying, like, this specifically. No, why are you – no. Like, it's a mystery. Like, you don't think they ever offered a job to nobody else. It's the same thing with the whole scenario on dating. You don't think nobody ever asked somebody else out? Like, it's only one person.
Except for DJ
Tire.
They already said they offered – that. They said we got our first choice, our first guy. So it's not just saying, oh, you never did it before. You're lying. And Ed Reed just pointed out you're lying.
So, let me take it a step further, right? So the people that do the adopt the highway or the roadway or whatever that program is, right? And if you go into an accident, you catch an accident on a highway because, like, what, there's some debris on it or something like that, your car flip over or whatever, ain't they responsible for cleaning the highway? You can still sue them or snitch on them to say, like, hey, it wasn't clean. Not saying nobody's going to get charged for that, but, I mean, you can still say,
That's different. You're holding someone who owns who uses the highway responsible, and I'm still not sure how that works because I done hit a couple potholes, and when I call the city, They'll come and fill the hole, but I can't get no money. But just like Tekashi snitched on Rowdy and them, in my mind, I just don't think you can snitch on the university. This situation where Ed Reed was like, yo, I could have had the Jackson State job, I don't think that's putting Jackson State under pressure for when they said, hey, we got our first coach, or we made our first decision. Now, somebody could put the two and two together, which they have. I mean, Blair's not lying. People say, well, hold on. How could you have had the Jackson State job if Deion said he got his first choice? And it appears that Deion Sanders and Jackson State lied to their coach about him being the first choice. But that ain't Ed Reed snitching. He's just telling you, yo, I could have had another job, but I'm here with y'all picking up trash. I'm not snitching on nobody else. So when he's telling, yo, I got to pick up trash, is he snitching on, like, the janitors? Like, every time you, I mean, living your truth can be snitching on somebody. But in this instance, in my eyes, me and Blair are different, he's just, and I do agree with Blair that, you know, Ed Reed should get off the internet, even though I agree with him 100, I can't say 100% about 75% in these cases, him telling the internet, yo, I could have had another job, but I'm here with y'all, I'm committed to y'all, I'm trying to get this together, I don't think it's putting Jackson State in a predicament. Jackson State becomes in a predicament for lying to their coach. That's Jackson State's fault.
Yeah, that but that's nobody's business. Like, Ed Reed didn't have to say Jackson State. He'd have to say Graham. He could have said exactly what you said. I could have had other jobs, but I turned them down to be here. Once you start naming names, if you were in the interrogation room and you start naming names, you're snitching, even if you're just telling your truth. Because those people ain't in there with you. Those people ain't in the cops ain't got them. Ain't nobody, wasn't nobody thinking about Jackson State. He brought them into it. Ain't nobody asked him about that. Ain't nobody said, hey,
well,
did Jackson State offer you a job?
Let me say this, right? If it's not criminal activity, I think criminal activity is snitching. But if it's outside of criminal activity, it is just, you know what I mean, you just want to put people on Front Street, I think that's title telling.
I'm cool with that.
It's no different. but I think that's what it is.
I mean, I guess that's how we can come to an agree. I don't think it's snitching because, again, I think snitching is when you do a crime with someone and then y'all both get caught and you tell the person, the police, what happened. And you know, you shut out your person. If I see somebody, look, I ain't camera. You shoot down my street. If I see you with a gun shooting and the cop says, hey, did you see who was shooting? I'm going to tell you yes, and I'm going to point you out to the cop. I got a nice, relaxed life. I don't feel like that's snitching. I don't do anything that involves criminal activity anymore. Now,
so the only I would agree with you. The only thing I'll put back is that he was involved in this somewhat. Now, he wasn't involved in them lying. He didn't say go out there and tell this man he was your first choice and put that all on the documentary and put that all in the news. Ed Reed had nothing to do with that. But he was a party. He was accessory to it in some way.
But he didn't commit a crime. He was just telling y'all he could have had a Jackson State job. If Jackson State lied and told somebody else, oh, we offered it to you first, then they lied. You should have just said, oh, we're just glad we came to an agreement. You got the job. That's Jackson State's
right.
Fault.
I'm not blaming him for the lie. I'm blaming him for bringing the light to it.
Ain't nothing wrong with
you like
that.
As a man, if you already had that position offered to you and you turned it down, yeah, you know I mean, you just got to eat that. You just got to eat that. Why is it a problem now that somebody else took the position that you was going to get hired for that you didn't take, and then now you stuck with what you stuck with. You just got to eat that.
Now, why all of a sudden
it's a problem?
He was in his feelings.
He was
being emotional, just like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, emotional men.
he wasn't saying it to be a problem. The way I took it is he was just saying, look, I'm here fighting with y'all. I could have had a cushier job where Deion Sanders set up something nice, but I chose to go through the struggle with y'all. And I agree with Blur. It's definitely emotional. Every's emotional. Definitely emotional. But I think that's why he's going to make a good football coach. I think he'll be all right. If he ever gets a chance to coach again, I think he will. I think he'll get on shot. But I just don't agree to that. Like what New York said is exactly right in my mind. I don't know if there's a proper definition for it. But some criminal activity has to take place. Some criminal activity or cheating?
I'm all with that. If we define the snitching as criminal activity or cheating, then yeah, this ain't that. But I still don't think nobody on this call right now would do it. I wouldn't do it. Gun, I don't think you do it. New York just said he wouldn't do it. I don't think DJ C. Siren would do it either.
But just because we wouldn't do something doesn't mean that it's something else. Like, I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff I wouldn't do. So there's a bunch of stuff that I wouldn't do that you would do. I mean, that's just what makes us different people. And then again, Ed Reed is old, man. When old people get on the internet, look, I love my mom. You know, sometimes I got to take off the internet. You know? Old people on the internet don't work well. Look, old people on the internet and young people on the internet don't work well. It's only us in this real, in this 30 to 40 age where we saw how the internet came, and when the internet got really crazy, we were all in our mid-20s, hitting 30s. We know how to control the internet because we saw it in its infancy, and we saw it when it became really, really awful. These young kids can't live without the internet and have to post everything online. And old people don't understand, hey, nobody needs to know that you're cooking bacon this morning. We're just in a special group, man. Every old man. Is every older than us? Every got to be older than us. I'm trying to think when I saw it. Because he should be about our age. But he's from Florida, too, man. He's Florida, man, you know. You know, Florida people are different, you know. Everybody from the South is a little bit different, except for my wife. So, all right.
Yeah,
you know,
Avery was born in
78. Oh yeah, that'd be Jesse Siren age. But yeah, he should know. He should definitely know better than to get on the internet. So
he emotional, man. The one thing I gotta say about Ed Reed,
he was emotional though.
Oh yeah, he was very emotional, and I think it's messing him up, because this is the one thing I've seen on multiple platforms. People saying like, "Yo, if nothing else, he's showing that he shouldn't be anybody's coach." I seen that on ESPN, on Fox Sports, Bomani on his podcast that he doesn't have the temperament to be the head coach of any top program.
They're idiots. They've never played sports. They're idiots.
They know business.
I love Bomani.
You got to be emotional at a certain type of point. My fault.
You got to know business. Got to know business. I can't imagine Nick Saban cursing and crying and yelling in a camera.
No, that's what.
But that comes with the game, though. That comes with the game, too, though. Like it's like a double-edged sword. But it's kind of like just like how what's it called? Steph Curry just got kicked out the game for throwing his mouthpiece. I mean, it kind of shows that you care, but it's just like, yeah, it's you got to do it in character, but
players get a pass.
I don't know. I can't explain.
And I think players get a pass, and I think coaches get a pass. Like right after the game, like I think was Dennis Green. They are who we thought they are. Like they get a pass for yelling stuff like that. And the other dude, I'm a man. I'm 40. When he's yelling at the media, here. Yeah, but that's still not crying and curse. Nah, that when you lose it like that. Like you can't, it's hard to be the face of a corporation, which essentially what the head football coach is in college. Like, you're the face of the corporation. In most cases, the face of the school.
You've been away from football too long, man. I didn't see mad coaches cry after winning losses and talking.
Yeah, I think people,
cry. Yeah, I've seen people like, cry, but you can't get like that. You can't get emotional like that.
But look, my offensive coordinator led UConn to a top 10, like, team in the nation. He's that good. He's got some problems, which came to bite him, which why, you know, he came back and led my university to national championships. Hell, we beat Jimmy Garoppolo in football to get a national championship. He's that emotional. It takes – not every coach has to be like that because, you know, not anything is monolithic. But those type of emotional coaches give 100 men in a room, if they can get them motivated to play off of their passion and emotion, those are good coaches. Those are the coaches that commit everything because they think it's some higher power and, of course, it reads through God in it. And again, I would never be like that. I don't have that type of personality. But those emotional coaches drive teams of men. You know, but a lot of other sports don't need that. Like, I don't want to disrespect track or disrespect baseball or disrespect basketball, but, like, you know, probably, what's his name? Tommy Knight was probably the last real, real emotional one. Because you realize with basketball players, like, their athleticism takes over. Put them in a position where their athleticism can be successful. You don't need to have those emotions. When it comes to football, like, you got to be able to motivate the kid who don't get no playing time that only does special teams and runs 40 yards down the field just to get smacked in the head on the kickoff or kickoff return to go do that to the best of his ability 3, 4, 5 times a game. That takes emotion. Because you ain't just going to convince somebody, hey, this is good for the better team. That takes emotion. And, now, again, it's all opinion. You know, we can have difference of opinions, and I respect everybody's opinion, but your bias, Bomani's bias, I'm not biased. Because I wish Ed Reed would have succeeded. I understand why people were upset. But to say that because he's so emotional, he wouldn't be a good coach, they haven't been around coaches in locker rooms. That's just a fact. Because I've seen a ton of them. I've been in a ton of different locker rooms. I was in Miami's locker room with Howard. I heard them coaches talk. I was in Avon's locker room in West Virginia. Heard them coaches talk. These coaches are emotional, dog. Like, look at the Detroit Lions coach. He cried on TV like 7 times this year. He was talking about biting people's kneecaps and fighting for his team. It's an NFL team and he was crying when they were losing. These things happen, dog. I hate to say it.
Yeah, just to piggyback off of that, it's just not even in these games. You can hear the coach's frustrations and the emotions when you in practice. When you fuck up too. They really care. They really care, yo.
I think y'all are confused then. I don't think I'm biased. I wanted Ed Reed to succeed. I was happy that he was there. I really wanted him to get a job. I think they should have kept him. I think they made a mistake by firing him. I mean, he had a job by unhiring him. I think they should have kept him, if nothing else, to give him a chance to get right and to show that, yo, we're just not going to jump and make rash decisions here. All right, something he messed up, but we're going to get it right. We're going to work on this together. So I think they should have kept him. That said, I think y'all are confusing passion with emotion. Look at Ed Reed in that Roland Martin interview. That's not just passion. That is a man who was – I don't want to talk bad, man. He's like how he keep interrupting in the whole Jackson State thing. He's just jumping in and out of the conversation. Now, I understand it's an emotional time. Like, he has something to plan, so he's going through something. I understand being emotional when you're going through something. But I think you can't always show that emotion. Because I've been around emotional coaches, and I've seen enough emotional coaches. And it's the stuff movies are made out of in all sports. I think they have to motivate people in basketball to go die for the loose ball, you know, the whole thing. No coach is going to act like Ed Reed was just acting.
That's a lie.
I can't think of one.
But look, I can say that because
I'm scared of kids.
Bobby Knight. They've had coaches choke kids on the sideline.
Yeah, and one, none of them cursing and crying and being hysterical.
Yes, they were. I just told you the Detroit Lions coach was crying on camera.
Okay. About to agree to disagree. I'm just going to agree to disagree. We only got an hour left. So, Blur, I'll let you get your final thought in because I disagree with you, but I'll let you get your final thought in so we can, because we do that a lot of.
No, I think I got mine off. I hope he get another shot. I don't think he will. No time soon. Definitely not as a head coach right away. Maybe he'll be a position player or a coordinator. Not a position player, a position coach or a coordinator. Hopefully this year. I'm thinking about this year. And hopefully he gets another shot somewhere. Because, again, I think he can be a good coach. Hopefully he got the X and O's behind him. I think he could probably be a good recruiter. Definitely think he's going to be a good motivator. So I hope Avery gets another shot. I hope he takes a media training. I hope he has a publicist, a PR guy, and just has a whole team surrounding him. So all he has to do is worry about X's and O's and do nothing else.
Okay. Okay. All right. New York, you got anything else?
No. I can agree with Blair's last point. I could agree with that. Just don't act out of emotion. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Thought she was done. All right.
So, speaking of media training, let me jump in with a topic right here. Tony Dungy, one of our favorite right-wing black people. Went and fell for the internet. Old people on the internet, man. Trying to keep it consistent. There was a article that said that a high school was going to start putting women's menstruating products in the boys' bathroom for those men who don't classify as men. Tony Dungy saw it, and in a it's like Unite the Right in one of them right rallies, he said, no worries, we're going to put cat litter in schools too for those that identify as cats. And then the gays guy. Yeah, I would love to see a fight between the gays and the Jews. Has that happened yet? Because they swarm, you know. They swarm like the Wu-Tang video. Wu-Tang Forever. Wasn't that the video? So, Tony Dungy didn't apologize. Because, you know, he a Christian, and you know, you can't be talking bad about the gays, man. But, okay, he shouldn't have fell for the internet. You know, when you're reading these type of things, you should really be sure what you're reading, because these are sensitive subjects. It's just my thing. He shouldn't get killed for making a joke. But I guess that's what gay people are saying, you know, that's like hate speech and all that stuff. But I don't know. Like, was it just a poor joke? Was it a funny joke at the time? Did it get a lot of laughs?
I don't even get it.
Because he's saying that, you know, since men are identifying as women, they're going to put tampons in boys' bathrooms. So for those who don't identify as men, but still need to use a urinal, they can grab a tampon. So he said they're going to put kitty litter in bathrooms so that people who identify as cats can use the kitty litter box.
It's not funny.
Yeah, I don't think it was a good joke. You know, anybody who's got, besides your dad, there's not a whole lot of real funny religious people. Yeah, I guess my uncles are pretty funny. But, you know, did you see the Tony Dungy comments? What you think, man? Old people in there is what I said.
I saw it, and I didn't really see a problem with it. And again, I barely have a problem with people saying anything. I feel like voice your opinion. People who agree with you and support you, going to rock with you. People who don't, won't.
the problem was, I think I didn't realize, and if it's a joke, I didn't really, I didn't get the joke, but I didn't see the funny. Not because I don't agree with him, just because that's, it's too close to being real. Like, because there is people, and Gunn, you know, we have people who tell us about this all the time. Like, there's kids who identify as animals, and the schools are talking about, or are, even though I heard a report that they, no school has actually ever did, has not actually did that, but are talking about, you know, allowing them to identify as animals in school. So him saying that, while it could have been a joke, if you're just repeating something else that's happening, then it's not really funny. You're just adding on to the story. So in an attempt to be a joke, I thought it fell short, but I get what he was saying. Because the last part of the he said, hey, got to accommodate everybody, just kind of pointing out the stupidity in it. Like, all right, yeah, why are you putting tampons in a boy's bathroom? Like, for what? Like, really, like, how far are we going to go? If we're doing that, then yeah. Let's put kitty litter in the bathroom for the kids who identify as cats, because apparently that is a thing. So, yeah, while I agree with him, I don't understand what he was trying to do with the comment, with the quote, with the text, with the tweet, or whatever it was. I don't get where he was going with it. Like, I get what he was saying, but I don't, again, the internet, what are you looking to gain out of this?
Okay. DJ C. Siren, what you got?
It wasn't funny. I mean, I don't know. In terms of him saying it, I don't think it's. I mean, it's just an offhand joke. I mean, you know, I don't think it was that awful though. You know, you're on a platform. They're gonna come and get you. So.
Okay.
Be aware of being, you know, funny. You know, like, ha ha, disrespectfully, ha ha.
Okay. New York.
Yeah, and I definitely agree with what's it called, DJ C. Siren and Blair too, in a sense of if you had a platform, you making a joke like that. I mean, you know, it's a sensitive time in the world. It's really a sensitive time in the world. Everybody going through different things, even people going through transitions and stuff like that. If they can make a connection to the transition that they're making, anything like that, of course people are going to feel hurt. I can't, like, I don't know if I can say that he was wrong. It might have been a distasteful joke, but I mean, that's still his opinion. Other people still got their opinion too. I don't know. It's like a double-edged sword when you come to that, when you're talking about that. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
I was going to say, because, again, we're acting or we're going off of, like, hey, this might have just been an attempt at a joke. But the backlash, if the LGBTQ is coming at him for saying what he said, that means they're probably looking at it, he was trying to make a joke as well. But aren't they all about inclusion and, you know, the whole plus is for, like, plus keeps going. Do they not mess with, do they not rock with the people who identify as animals? Is that not, now I'm literally just asking, I don't know. Do the LGBTQ plus, do they not rock with to say, hey, I identify the cat, I identify the dog. Do they not rock with them? Because if so, then I would think they would be going for their rights too. Like, hey, this person identifies as a girl, give them tampons. This person identifies as a cat, give them cat litter.
People that identify as animals is different, because if you're LGBTQ+, that's not where we're going, moving away from that being a mental illness and more of something of someone trying to find normalcy. Someone identifying as an animal, I'm sorry, that's still a psychological issue.
You got the furries.
A psychological issue. So no, I do not think that they would relate to someone who thinks they're an animal, because I think that is still categorized in the DSM-4, which is the Manual for Psychiatric Illnesses, versus being gay used to be in the DSM-4. We're moving away from that. So no, I don't think that is included in that part of acceptance. I think that's more of a psychological issue. You can go ahead, New York.
Yeah, no, I was just going to explain that same way that you explained it, way better than I did, but just that, and the third, I can't really talk about these type of topics because I'm not really knowledgeable on these type of topics. I'm not living their life of how they're living their life, so I really can't comment on that or anything about putting tampons in boys' bathrooms and stuff like that because I don't know the situation that they're going through, whatever hormones or whatever testosterone people are taking and this, that, and the third, just the transition and stuff like that. I don't know anything about that. So I can't really give my honest opinion on anything about that because I'm not knowledgeable on that topic. Like this is something that's new to me. So yeah.
I mean, and this is the bad thing about where my brain goes. Because if you're going to be able to dish it, you got to be able to take it. So the first thing I thought was, if Tony Dungy said, hey, it was a joke that went wrong, I was just joking. If one of them gay people said, yeah, that's why your son committed suicide, because he was gay and you wouldn't accept him, ha, ha, ha. Everybody would say the gay person's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see the difference.
Is that what happened?
No, that's what I was
going to
say. But that's why I don't deal with politics, because I get right to the point. My jokes, at that point, I just want you to fight me. But, like, Tony Dungy would be offended by that. And I understand why he would be offended like that. So why would you say something for no reason? Say offensive stuff to your friends. I offend my friends all the time. They offend me all the time. You don't have to make it public to nobody, even if you don't agree with their lifestyle. That's the only thing I don't get about these far-right people. Like, America was founded on religious freedoms. Why are y'all trying to make the government right-wing Christian? It don't make no sense. Y'all scream, what's that damn piece of paper? The Constitution, Constitution, Constitution.
Piece of paper.
The founding fathers were the colonists. The pilgrims were people who then were fleeing the religious restrictions of England and France. That's why Pennsylvania is owned by the Amish. William Penn was fucking a Quaker. Then Jesus went to Utah, and that's how the Mormons own. It was found on religious freedoms. Why are you making fun of other people in public? I understand making jokes in private. I do it all the time. But why are you making these jokes in public? You ain't sorry for that joke. But if somebody talk about your dead son, just prepare to chalk it up. You know, but that's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Rest in peace, Tony.
Look, before you move on, I never knew Jesus went to Utah. Utah is an actual state. I never knew that. But the Amish people got some good food. Amish people got some good food. I went to the Amish market. Oh my God, the dessert, everything,
and the Jesus juice. Do Amish believe in Jesus? Who's their God? Is that why Jesus was, did they worship Jesus because he was a carpenter and they don't use electricity? Yeah, I remember going back home and seeing the Amish people use a credit card machine. I said, y'all ain't shit. Them Amish people in Philly use a credit card machine like a motherfucker. Look, they got y'all right though. They got some good food. But damn, what was I going to say to New York?
Utah.
Oh, Utah, New York. Please do me a favor, yo. If you got an hour and a half, get two blunts and watch the Book of Mormon, and please call me.
You can't watch it.
Why?
It's not a movie.
Honey, it's 2023. I'm sure it's on a streaming site somewhere. I'm sure someone has filmed it.
Oh, like filmed the play.
Hey, look.
Yeah.
For the people that's listening, we're going to watch this legally. We're not going to stream it. I'm going to watch it legally. So.
Well, I'm just saying because it is what DJ Shazan is. It's a play. It's a Broadway play. It's a musical, right? And you might be looking at me like Beach Bum got an aisle, so like watching no play or no musical. I wish when DJ C-Sign made me go watch this, I wish I was high when I watched this because it was that entertaining. It was that funny. There's so many slides. Like, once they talk about African people with AIDS, and that sounds like a wild thing to say. I was hurting in my seat laughing so much. And I wish I could have been high watching. So if you just get a chance, if anybody has the play on DVD,
I don't know if they have that, but yes.
It'll tell you all about the Mormons. Now, it's one-sided, but very entertaining. New York, have you ever seen it?
I haven't. I haven't. And you just telling me Jesus was in Utah is kind of like it's mind blowing to me because I don't even think Wisconsin is the real state. Wisconsin. Ain't nobody been to Wisconsin. I don't know nobody been to Wisconsin, but Jesus in Utah. What's Jesus doing out in Utah? What is he doing out in Utah?
Look, I don't know, man. That's why I always say, you think Jesus, when he figured out he could walk on water, walked to the Atlantic Ocean and said, nah, God, I can't.
No,
I only got 33 years
of
life.
Didn't they find a place in, like, New Jersey or Pennsylvania?
Oh, did they find
a place? I guess they moved over there for freedom.
Anyway, but
Jesus was in the United States.
Yeah.
Them
natives would have put an arrow in his heart, yeah. Blur, have you ever seen the Book of Mormon?
I have not. I wanted to see it when it came to St. Louis, but something happened and I wound up not going. But now I really wanted to see it. I saw some really good reviews and some like people talking about it, there's a thing on YouTube where people just kinda like recap stuff. So yeah, so I haven't seen it, but like I got the cliff notes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So that's that, Blair. I'm gonna get to your next topic, but just to tie up this whole Jesus stuff and gay people stuff, the Pope says it's okay to be gay. Y'all cool with that, DJ C-Sign? You grew up in the church. You cool with the Pope saying it's okay to be gay?
Yeah, he didn't say it's okay to be gay. He said it's not criminal. Which means just don't kill people.
Unless you're in Saudi Arabia. If you're Muslim,
that's what he's trying
to do.
They were. Well, he's trying to talk to the actual Catholics that are still trying to kill people or arrest people for being gay. So, I mean, that's cool. I think it's a big step for them to at least say that. He's not saying it's not a sin, but he's just saying, hey, let's stop putting people in prison for it. And, it's like if we tolerate all these other sins, then we need to tolerate this one, too.
Blur, are you cool with the Pope saying it's okay to be gay?
Yeah, they I think it was the last Pope or the Pope before him. They've been turning over a lot lately. But it was, he said something like, yeah, they have a lot to offer, and we need to accept them. Like, so that was a while ago. This guy just kind of doubled down or just added on. So, like, he wasn't even the first guy. I mean, he just standing on the shoulder of giants, some other people who had the guts to say it.
New York?
Look, I agree with everybody's sentiments, what they said on it. The world is turning. Shit, we've been here for how long, how many years? I mean, hey, times has changed from when the Bible was first created. So, yeah, This is what it is.
I wonder what Pope.
Here we got to spend long on this. But the Pope saying it's okay to be gay. Like, what does that do for people? Because he ain't Jesus. You just a dude that got elected by another dude and put on a red cape.
That's what you believe, but man, that's not what.
They ain't my religion.
Huh?
They ain't my religion.
That's what you believe.
But no. They handpicked by God?
All that stuff that you're saying, you don't believe that, but people do.
That they were handpicked by God?
Yes.
No, they just had a vote when the Puerto Rican became a pope. Is he the pope that's talking now, the Puerto Rican one? Or the one from Argentina or somewhere?
Yeah, like South America.
Crazy.
They just
eating sofrito with the adobo.
Yeah, yo, he essayed, man. He one of the homies.
Not bad. But anyway,
he was on that bus that they sent to Mar-a-Lago.
These people are ordained and
but not by God, but by other people.
But they don't believe that it is through God. It is not.
So they like the Mormons. The Mormons believe God anointed John Smith.
Right, yeah.
In Utah.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Wait. So you could still have a voting system.
Yeah, they vote
think
on
that
it.
Is
but
see,
God.
They know they're voted by God, or they won't be voting.
They still got to be in the running. And you got to do stuff to be in the running. So, you know.
I'm not saying that they don't deserve their position in that religion. I'm pretty sure they worked hard, and, you know, you give up pussy for that long. Oh, isn't the new pope not a virgin?
I don't know nothing about that.
I wonder who's, like, the head, like, Buddhist.
The Dalai Lama?
Isn't he dead?
Oh.
The Dalai Lama still alive?
There's always a new
anytime.
Dalai Lama.
Different people.
Oh, there's different Dalai Lamas?
That is a position.
Oh, I thought Dalai Lama was a person. You know, anytime someone says the Dalai Lama, I hate to be racist. But, you know, anytime someone says the Dalai Lama.
Just
look,
can't help it.
I know. But I love all humans. But I'm racist towards everybody. Anytime somebody says the Dalai Lama, and y'all going to laugh. The first picture in my mind is the Street Fighter dude.
Gautam?
Yeah, with the extending feet. That's what I think of when somebody says the Dalai Lama.
Oh, God.
Well,
yeah.
Great cartoon. All right. Yeah. I got more topics, but I'm going to let you jump in, Blair. What else you got? Shout out to the Pope and his gay people. I got bars tonight. All
right, so I want to let me make it a little light, because there's another heavy topic about the white boy saying the N-word that didn't get a scholarship to an HBCU, but we'll say that for another time.
I would have fun with that one.
Do y'all know?
I firmly believe the black. I feel like that's a great topic. I feel like we should get into it.
It is.
Some black girl. He was in some black girl pussy, and she told him she loved him, and that's when he felt like he could say the word nigga, because he loved rap music more than me. But go ahead. Good topic. I'll let you do what you do.
Nah, because I don't think we're going to get to this any other day, man. Do y'all know the name Shauna Ray? Does anybody know who that is?
No.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to assume no. Shauna Ray had a documentary on TLC like a year or so ago. She's not a little person, like dwarfism, but she is a grown woman stuck in an 8-year-old body. She had, like, brain cancer. She was born with brain cancer or something like that, and it messed up her pituitary gland with the chemo and the treatment for her to live. So her bones stopped growing around 8 or 9. And for the most part, her face stopped growing. Like, her body is of an 8-year-old. She's now 23, but...
I think I saw the preview of the show.
She got the Benjamin Button joint?
No, I've seen
an
article too.
Yeah, so she had a whole documentary out last year, but she's back in the news now because she has a boyfriend who's 23. I don't say normal or regular, but full-size, grown man. Looks kind of like, well, he probably is a surfer. Like, nicely built, white dude, blonde hair. Who is dating what essentially looks like an 8-year-old.
Is that the picture you sent in the group chat?
Yes. Now, when you saw that picture, what was your first thought?
I thought it was a dad and his daughter.
Is he a pedophile?
No.
Yo, she can't fuck an 8-year-old. You know?
Right. I'm going to say, you're going to... So she has no dating pool.
Yeah, she would turn Julius out.
I was
going to
say, so she can't... You're like, she can't date anyone. It's basically
but
what you're saying.
So basically, well, but he is attracted to 8-year-olds, right?
Yeah, he could have found love with her personality.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. If someone is deformed or something like that, you say you can't fall in love with that because it's just about how they... I mean, I'm pretty sure talking to her, you can clearly distinguish she's not an 8-year-old. That makes the difference. There is a maturity, even though she looks a certain way. And I don't think Julia is all just about how looking young.
That's
it's
what...
about being able to control someone is not able to make decisions for themselves or do not have the maturity and that you can control. Well, that's not the fact.
That's what everybody on To Catch a Predator said. They were mature for their age.
She is. That
yeah,
is her age.
Yeah, she's not mature for her age. She's mature.
No, I'm saying that's what all the pedophiles say. It's they're mature. Yeah, they look young, but they're mature.
No, they say they're 8.
Yeah, but they're not. They're not mature though.
They say they're 8.
That's what pedophiles say in Senate.
Yeah.
They're mature, but they're not mature. They're mm-hmm. 8. They're 10 years old, 11 years old.
To Catch a Predator, they're not saying, "Oh yeah, I'm 23."
If this
but
is true,
this is what I look like.
Yeah, this
no, they're
what
saying I'm 8.
She done sucked dick before. She mature.
I mean, if you look at,
but why be attractive?
I
understand
that. Like professional gymnasts, things like that. They're very short. They look very young, and they look younger than their age.
Feet.
I don't know.
Their feet look bad.
But
Simone
Biles is very short. She's like five something.
Go
ahead.
And then we'll get back to
I'm just saying. I'm gonna be very quick. I can't fade. If you don't look up age, I can't fade. That's all it is.
I agree. That's kind of where I was at too. And I'm a personality guy, but she's 3'10", I think. 3'10".
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Ain't no fucking head and body, side, everything of an 8-year-old. The voice. Voice of a child.
Okay.
I mean, I understand because I wouldn't look at her and say, oh, she's attractive. In the same breath, if he's known her for years and years and years and understands his condition, understands her condition and knows her as a person, and then fell in love with her that way. Like I don't see anything wrong with it because she's of age. DJ Cesar.
I mean, and then also, if you think he's dating her just because she looks 8 and he just wants to have sex with an 8-year-old, then I mean, you're like neglecting the fact that I'm sure you would think that she will figure that out or would have figured that out by now. So
to be honest with you. I hope he is a pedophile, and I think it's good for him because I'd rather he mess with a 23-year-old who looks 8 than mess with a real 8-year-old. So I think he's got the diamond in the rough. He's found a way to live out his pedophilia dreams without actually going to jail and being a pedophile, and I want to get that man a pat on the back for finding the loophole.
But I
see
don't
that'll sit right with me. That'll sit right with me.
Yeah, New York, I was just about to say. why would you hope that he's a pedophile? Like, why can't you just hope that he's in love with a girl with a handicap?
I can't believe that. I can't believe that. You said she's living before, and I'm like, I can't. Nah, it has to be the gummy worm because ain't no way. Ain't no way. I can't see it. It ain't gonna work for me.
He gonna be fighting the pedophilia. What's it called? The gossip. For the rest of his life, as long as he with her. And look, I'm not even trying to even do that. I'm sorry. You know, people got conditions in this world, the center, third. I don't understand. But hey, nah, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. Especially if she still look at 8 years old. I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that for myself.
Neither could I. But for somebody who can. The only person I think who could is someone who has to find that physically attractive, has to be physically attractive some way.
Well, what if he loves her for her brain?
You still call him a pedophile at the end of the day?
No, she's 20-something. Let's not put this. Look, does it seem a little weird to me? Yes, because I'm not physically attractive. I don't look at her and say, oh, she's a good-looking girl, even though I understand she's 23. So I get y'all point in that. But he's not doing anything wrong. Now, why is he physically attracted to that? I don't know. Could it be pedophilia? Yeah, it could. It could very well be. I don't understand why gay people are gay. I don't understand why dudes are attracted to dudes. I understand why women are attracted to women. Women are beautiful creatures. I don't understand why people are attracted to kids, but I'm not a pedophile. Even though DJ C. Siren says it's not a word. So, but does this make him a pedophile because he's attracted to this girl? No, because she's of age. Would I leave my kid around?
So,
no.
Wait, that was, hold up. I gotta run that sentence back there. Being attracted to the body of an 8-year-old don't make you a pedophile because the body of an 8-year-old has a 23-year-old brain.
It ain't a brain. It's a 23-year-old body, too.
It's the body of an 8-year-old.
Well, how old's her body? Is it 23 or is it 8? How long has she been on this earth?
It stopped growing at 8.
But how long has she been on this earth?
Their body.
I mean, we ain't carbon dating her. We ain't digging the skin sample. It's got 23 years of sunshine on it.
Her bones might have stopped growing at 8, but if she got a furry bush, she might have a 23-year-old bush. Well, I don't know.
I think the pituitary gland control in that part of the brain stopped at 8. So I don't know what the carpet looks like, but if 8-year-olds have it, then she might.
Her knuckles might look like, you know, she's 25. I don't know. She got 25-year-old knees. She got the body of a 25-year-old. All I can say is he ain't doing anything illegal. I wouldn't leave my kid around him. But God bless their relationship. But I don't.
That's why
he's
I think he's been blessed, man. Because I think he's got the pedophilia tendencies, and he hit the pedophilia jackpot. He gets to do what he do and live out his pedophilia dreams without having any type of, and the law can't touch him. He ain't doing nothing illegal. He ain't got to register nowhere. He ain't got to worry about nothing. He hit the pedophilia jackpot.
My only problem is that you said, I hope he's a pedophile.
Mm-hmm. That's one less one on the street. That's one less one on the street.
But no. Okay. We have to go back and forth.
This is a great answer. This is a topic that can go on for hours. It's something else. Nah.
Okay.
But she does have, like, I do want to say she did, like, in the documentary, like, in the TLC show, the miniseries or whatever, she did go on dates. She went on other people who have the same affliction. So she did have a small dating pool, but yeah, it sucks to be her. I mean, like DJ Pizarro, yeah, she's not supposed to have no love life. I get it. It sucks, man. People get dealt the wrong deal. Some people get brain cancer and tumors out the womb, and they can't stop growing.
Some people are born liking kids. And then, you know, God bring those people together.
I guess she can always get a discount then. You always say that she's a kid. You know, you get the kid discount everywhere you go. But if somebody sees you tongue her down, then you might get the cops called on you. So I guess you got to be careful about that. Shout out to small people. You got anything else you want to rap about Blur in particular?
I mean, it's only a couple minutes left, man. Are we going to get into the white boy at the HBCU, man? We started it. We might as well go ahead.
You want to talk about the six-year-old shooting DJ C-Sire?
No.
I mean, it's a heavy topic, but, I mean, we ain't got to stay on it too long. I don't know how big of a topic it is for everybody.
HBCU.
Oh, you want to do HBCU? All right, so I'll let you introduce it. Blur, tell us about the white QB. Who got a HBCU, a PBI? What do I call y'all now? A PBI.
Yeah, you can't be saying that, man. That's a total miscommunication. That's a total – nah, no PBI. We got to stop that.
PBIs. PBIs.
No, because a PBI would be like Temple University, Georgetown University. There's a school out here in Missouri I'm thinking about. They're primarily black, but those are not HBCUs. There's a difference, buddy.
What in the earth makes you think that Georgetown University is
I don't know. I heard it on the podcast they were talking about it. They actually called it primarily black. I forgot what podcast it was.
The basketball team?
Nah, they said the school because they were talking about, hey, because when they talk about AI, they were talking about something. And they're like, I can understand why you would think Georgetown was at HBCU because it is primarily black, but it is not. Just like Temple. Temple, as a matter of fact, connecting the dots here, I have a friend who in high school said the N-word around me. I kind of stopped messing with him. That same friend was trying to go to Temple, and the person from Temple said, yeah, this is kind of a black school.
What I'm saying is when you get off the exit and you try to go to Temple, what? That's different. That's a different area right there.
Yeah, I don't know what Blur talking about because I've been on Georgetown's campus and I ain't seen too many black dudes. So I had to make sure I looked it up because maybe it changed in the last couple of years. But Georgetown, 46% white, 15% black. So it's predominantly white. It's half white. It's kind of like how most schools in Maryland is. My school's like that. Like it's a... My school has about 50-50 white people and others. It's very diverse. But let's get back to the PBIs, man. Tell us about the white QB at the PBIs.
I don't know nothing about no PBI, but there's a white kid from Florida, high school player, 4-star recruit. He's pretty good, I guess, to be a 4-star quarterback out of Florida. Had a scholarship offered to the University of Florida. But after he committed to the University of Florida, a video came out of him saying the N-word. Sounds like, well, he says he was rapping along to a song. I saw the video. I don't know the song, but, you know, I'm not a high schooler, so maybe it's something I ain't never heard before. Didn't hear any music, but, you know, that don't mean he wasn't singing the song. So that came out. University of Florida pulled his scholarship. Was like, nah, we no longer want you to be a part of our school or our program. Understandably so, somewhat understandably so. You know, that's bad publicity for the school. It's a bad look. These are not the right times to be doing that. So now you got this high school kid, this white guy, 4-star athlete, no school to go to, was recently offered a full scholarship from an HBCU, Albany State University in Georgia. Come be a part of their program. It's just weird, ironic, funny, interesting that you lose your scholarship to a
primarily white institution, for saying the N-word, but the HBCU, School of Black People, welcomes you right on in. Come on over there with us. We got you, buddy.
Well, we don't know if they're going to welcome him in or not.
They will. We'll monitor you, and if you
he got going
overstep
that
your
locker.
Boundary, you overstep your boundary, there will be repercussions.
He got to get in that locker room and figure that out. But it's a very interesting story. So, as alumni of PBIs, DJC Siren and Blur. What do you think your university, you think you're good with your university doing that?
No, I'd probably be upset about it.
Like I mean, I wasn't we have to you, so I can't.
If he ruined his career, he ruined his career. We ain't got to save him. I don't know why we got to save him. Now, I mean, why are they doing it? Are they doing it because he's that good of a player? Did they need the talent?
You're not going to find that talent at HBCUs other than
that's what I'm
Jackson
saying.
State.
No, I'm asking. You didn't answer my question. Is that what it is?
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is, right? Like, so Albany State's not the biggest HBCU program, football program. You get a talent like, I mean, they do have some talent, but you get a talent like this in here. If your program goes from pretty good to great, and he starts breaking records, and he's this great talent of the QB, which is the most important position on the field. Again, it's a snowball effect. If your football team is good and exciting, it's a revenue generating sport. You bring in fans, you bring in people to the stands, you have people spending money at your school, you bring attention to the school, and next thing you know, you increase the revenues at your school. And it also could be somebody who just, we never know whose connections were. It could be somebody who wants to give him a second chance. Like I said, I made the jokes earlier. You could tell this wasn't the first time him saying nigga. And you could tell that whoever he's around let him know it was cool. Again, there are some white people in this world. Well, there's some black people in this world who don't mind their friends saying the word nigga. I'm not one of them. I've had white people confused and think I was one of them. And I've clearly had to put my hands on a couple. And a couple, I always give a white person a pass, one free pass. Because you might not know. I don't care how cool we are. We talk about everything. Don't say nigga out your mouth. I don't even like black people saying it around me now. I've grown from that. So, depending where he's from, who he's been around, he may not thought of that had been a big of a deal. Again, I don't know why these kids get on the internet and do these things. But the ignorance of him not to know that once you put that on the internet that can affect you makes me think he's not that bright. But you don't need to be that bright to be a good football player. But I also don't believe that a kid should not be allowed to go to school because of this. Because if you go to a rap concert, me and DJ C. Siren was at the Kendrick Lamar concert, then white people were saying nigga all day. And then nobody stopped the concert and wasn't nobody fight. So it's one of those things is how much power as black people do we get the word? Do we tell this kid that, no, you can't do nothing that involves black people because now you're racist? Like, the way he looks like he likes black people. I hate to be that person and say what he look like, but we know them type of white people. He looks like he loves black people. Again, I have a pretty good feeling that he slept with a black woman before, and he was in love with her. And I'm pretty sure he was devastated. Because, look, when you go to the University of Florida, anybody who's been down there, it's a very nice campus. The people are lovely. You can't be racist going on that football team. They're going to kill you. So, I don't know, man. Like, I'm kind of happy that I'm not going to say I'm happy I can kick us. But, you know, they might whoop his ass, though. They might whoop his ass the first day and say, all right, let's go win a championship. Because he might be nice. And then look, if he married black women, what are we going to say? Well, you can't say he's racist.
I mean, I don't think racism has to, like, that don't give you a pass if you marry a black woman because you're not racist. I mean, he's a football player, so he's probably not racist. Probably most of his team and probably some of the closest people on his team, best players on his team are probably black.
Both are racist.
That don't mean you get to say it. I mean, just because you're not racist. I mean, I go back to the whole Joe Rogan thing. Joe Rogan got a black kid, apparently, or, you know, half a black kid he adopted. Pretty sure he's not racist.
He bought one? Nah, he's still racist.
Nah, his wife. I thought we talked about that on here. His wife used to. I don't say to jump off, but she was dating the dude. Knocking Boots was about his wife.
Joe Rogan's wife is cheating on him?
Nah, it's before she was with him. She used to date the dude from H-Town, and he wrote Knocking Boots was about her.
Knocking Boots was about Joe Rogan's wife?
Yeah. I swear we talked about that on here. But, yeah.
Nah.
She was the inspiration for Knocking Boots.
Oh, yeah. He can say nigga.
Nah, no, he can't. But after she left old boy and they have a daughter together, she met and married Joe Rogan.
Nah, but that don't count, yo. I'm talking about having a baby with a black person.
Just because
you bought one.
Yeah, it was. Now, go ahead.
I just think, in the sense of,
if you're using racist terms, right, people or a lot of the people are not going to accept that. So if you're going to use racist terms, even in a friend group or anything like that, you might feel comfortable in that setting, but as soon as you get out into the real world, or you might even feel like you still with your friends in the real world, and you use that type of terminology, you can't act like somebody else's reaction is going to be different.
Yeah, that's
in
what
that
I
real world setting.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if. Oh, go ahead, New York. My bad. I thought you was done. Go ahead.
No. No. You was about to echo what I was about to say, but even at that, when you get, you probably be comfortable with your friend group and using that terminology, but when you get in the real world, and you still think that you are around your friends and stuff like that in the real world and using that terminology, and somebody else overhears it, you can't dictate they reaction to it. That's all it is.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he showed up in that locker room and they said, hey, you got an answer for this. Would they shut them doors? Because I've been in them situations where, you know, you shut them doors and then people in that room, you know, you got to answer for stuff. And, you know, sometimes that involves some furniture moving. And for him to pay his debt, he might have to get in a tussle with a couple people. Or he might show up to Albany State and bag the baddest black joint on campus, and they say, oh, yeah, we got respect for you. Like, he might show up with a backwards hat and a gold tooth, and everybody will understand what that video means. You just never know. But I don't think his career should be ruined. But you do have to, whatever consequences come with it, then you got to accept that, because white people shouldn't be saying it. It's just the bottom line of it. I don't think black people should be saying
that. That's where my confliction comes in. Because I do think that there's got to be a price to pay. He has to, like, you got to deal with the consequences of your actions. He did something stupid. He put it on the internet. And he lost a scholarship for it.
I don't think Albany State or any HBCU should be the hand up, should be the one, hey, we understand, let's give you a second chance. I said this to someone 100%. Else, like, I don't, like,
100%.
I understand schools reaching out, like, look, he's a young kid, he's probably 17 or 18 when he did it. I mean, that shouldn't, like, that shouldn't carry a life sentence, but I don't want my school to be the one.
Why not?
I don't want Grambling to be the one and be like, yo, we got you. Because I still believe that HBCUs are here for the betterment and education of black people. Now, that's not to say white people can't come and attend, but that's a scholarship spot for a black person. That's a scholarship and a quarterback spot for another. There's another black kid who ain't get a spot somewhere, who can't go to Florida, who didn't get a scholarship to Florida, who possibly needs a spot to go. That's who that spot should go to.
Good. He ain't as good to go to Florida. Because that kid would have won.
Well, he better go to Colorado. Because the scholarship spot needs to go to a black person. For my HBCU. That's the way I want to see it.
Yeah, you're definitely on the type of you don't want white people at your schools.
I just say,
let Blur retort me accusing him of racism, because he is racist. But go ahead, Blur.
Not at all. I just think for things like that where there's limited spots, there's a limited number of people we can have on the football team. There's a limited number of scholarships we can hand out. And for people for the longest time couldn't go somewhere, and let's be clear, certain places still can't go somewhere to other schools. Hey, these 105 schools and these positions are open to you, and you get first shot at. No, that's not because there's white people on every HBCU campus. There's probably white people on every HBCU football team. But I think those scholarship spots, especially the quarterback spot, which, hey, I said that before, when Coach Hugh Davis, the first thing he did when he got the job at Grambling was offer a scholarship to white. Like, oh, we made a mistake. Coach, I don't know what you're doing. That can't be the very first thing you do as soon as you sign a contract is offer a job to a white person. Not to your starting QB spot. And same thing, like, all right, look, somebody should help that young man out. Like, all right, you messed up. Here goes your second opportunity. Hopefully you get to where you're trying to go. I just don't think it should be the HBCUs. Not for this particular infraction. Not for this.
New York?
Look, I agree with Blair. Like, at the end of the situation is, like, you know what I mean? You got to be poised. You got to be, you know what I mean, the person that represents the school, especially if you a top scholar or anybody that's coming through the school. You can't have nothing like that chasing back to you, especially if it's racist, and people know that it's racist, and that hurts. That's detrimental to your character, in a sense. No matter if you sing in a song, no matter whatever we do as a community, as a culture, as make it acceptable, but it's not acceptable to certain type of people. And if that happens, nah. We can't get with that.
Well, I mean, DJ C-Sign, did you want to jump in here with the white QB? I mean, I didn't go to a PBI, so like I can't really speak on the culture because
stop making up.
If Blur says that is what he feels, you know, his type of schools are there for to only give black people these opportunities, then I can't argue with that. I don't understand the culture. I've never been to one, even though I frequently visited the dorms. Shout out to Morgan, shout out to Howard. Shout out to Hampton, hey.
Yeah, but, shout out to Coppin. Shout out to Temple.
Yeah, shout out to Coppin. Yeah, I've seen the inside of all those dorms. But I hate to just bring this back to sports, but this is what this is about. If the job of an AD is to build a winning program, and I guess that's what I don't understand. Maybe PBIs don't focus on building winning programs. That's not their focus. But as an athlete on a football team, I want the best players as possible to put us in a position to win. We'll take care of the ancillary shit. Like I was telling Blur earlier, I think the funniest shit in the world is I didn't find out that one of my teammates was, like, white until, like, 10 years ago. I always thought he was mixed. He said nigga all the time. But I thought he was mixed. So I never said anything. And it wasn't until I joined Facebook when I had a kid. And then, like, I saw, like, I really realized who his parents were and all this stuff. And I was like, oh, man, he, like, white. Like, we let that slide for years. Well, I mean, for me, he was much older than me, so it was only about a year. But, like, the black people on my team never said anything. But, like, he always hung out with black people. He came to all the black people clubs. Like, he just hung out with us all the time. Dated black women. I just thought he was mixed. I don't know how he kept a tan the whole time. I guess that's tan salon, but I thought he was like a little Mexican. But you know, if your job is to build a winning program and bring the best kids possible, I think you owe it to the athletes to talk to them before bringing in this kid. But if they say it's cool, he's going to help them become a better team. Then I don't see a problem with it. Again, he's going to have to answer to them. But if the kids
say there's other four-star quarterbacks out there. There's other black four-star quarterbacks out there. There's other black four-star quarterbacks out there. Offer every single one of them a scholarship first.
But none of them are going to Albany State. If they have a chance to go to Florida, none of them showing up.
Offer every single one of them a scholarship first.
They not coming. They don't think that school's worth it.
Offer, there's a four-star. I mean, I don't know if they get four-stars at Albany. Probably not. I don't know. I mean, the fourth star, they.
I can tell
I mean,
you.
They go. They got to go somewhere.
Yeah, they go to other big time schools. They'd rather go to Utah than Albany State. Or they'd rather.
Hey, we offered a four star at Grambling when we hired Coach Hugh. We had a four star quarterback out of New York.
You got to understand how cold it is in New York. First of all, just to go to upstate. But that's all I got to put in.
This is Albany in Georgia. And he's white. He don't care about cold.
Oh, that's different.
The kids ain't going to no Division II HBCU. You ain't going from Florida to a Division II HBCU by choice. Unless Deion there. That's the only way you going.
And I don't think he's going to go to Albany. I don't think he's going to. I think he's going to go to. I think if anything, if he can't get into another school, he'll probably go to a JUCO and then try to transfer. But I still think they should offer that same scholarship spot to every other four-star black quarterback in the country.
They're not going.
Do that first before you offer it to the white guy who said nigga. I just think I think that should be the protocol.
I hope he goes to Albany State. I hope he lights it up. And I hope he doesn't transfer. I hope he realizes this is a second chance. I hope he understands the errors of his ways and understand how great black people are. And I hope he finds his black queen at Albany State, gets married and makes some black children and has a great football career.
I hope he goes to a JUCO. I hope that black queen at Albany State find a black king at Albany State or anywhere else and have a bunch of beautiful black kids.
Ain't enough black men for black women out here. Black women outnumber us about 3-1. They're going to have to start finding white
double up sometimes.
Men.
Double up then. You can afford another one, right?
Hey, DJ C-Sign, can we double up? I have to ask DJ C-Sign to say that we need more black women in the household just because, you know, they all lonely and with babies. Since nobody want to marry them and do all that stuff and that'd be crazy. But we got to go, man. It's been a good show.
Matter of fact, I hope he goes to a JUCO, and I hope he finds a white woman at LSU or Auburn or Alabama or one of those other schools where they marry black men. Go take one of the white women from one of the black dudes so they forced to find another black woman.
What?
Yo, Blur Olam, we got to get out of here. DJ, she's tired. You sleep? She dozed off, so we'll skip her tonight. That's all I got. It's been a fun show. Been a good conversation. Always good talking to you, gentlemen and lady who fell asleep with her phone open. It's been a great conversation. Oh, should I go through her phone while she sleep? Should I go through her text messages while y'all on the phone and we can see how bad it'd be?
Absolutely not.
I got time.
Absolutely not. Don't do that. You marry.
You know the best.
You marry. It's different. It's different.
You know the bad thing about me is, and Blur can probably contest this, no matter what I found on the phone, I'll probably just be like, she's 40-something. It happens. Like, and I'm just like, it's all right. I'll be all right. If I found some white dicks on the phone, I might be a little disappointed. All right. That's it for me tonight, man. Been a good show. Always appreciate you gentlemen. We got some more topics to get to. We can even get to Ukraine. Pence, Shannon Sharp. I want to talk about Blur's movie marathon next week because you sent that text about the movies you want to watch, and they all look terrible. So we got to have that discussion. But I'm out, man. Blur, you got anything to say before we roll?
Yeah, man. Shout out to everybody. See y'all next week. If your girl looks like an 8-year-old, you like 8-year-olds. You're attracted to 8-year-olds. Shout out to my HBCUs. And my movie marathon looks amazing. Those are some of Ben Affleck's best top movies. I swear the man almost never misses.
New York, you got anything?
Look, I'm going to say Ben Affleck, the worst actor ever in America. Other than that, you know what I mean? Other than that, stay healthy, eat your CMOs. Take your vitamin D pills. Other than that, I mean, I look forward to the next conversation.
We got to have the Ben Affleck conversation next week. Y'all boys be safe.